Great.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for coming up here for this session. In some ways, I feel like I'm like, wow, you guys, yeah. Like, Oscar's downstairs, and after this morning, I was like shocked. Just so phenomenally blessed by what he had to say. And so we'll just engage a bit. So we were given the task just for this seminar to just talk about building preaching teams and why that is important, how it speaks into you know, just a plurality of voices and multiplication, and also just greater health as speakers and preachers for both the preacher per se, but then also as a church. So just a few things just to say. So my name is Buddy. I'm the gospel community pastor here at BBC. That's our small groups. And then Kevin Aldridge is our care and counseling pastor. So we in no ways sort of kind of the preaching pastors or whatever the church, but part of a preaching team together along with another five or six others, of which all of us have got kind of various amounts of reps, let me say, as we preach here at BBC. And we will say right off the bat, we are not experts at all. So we have just stumbled on this thing and trying to kind of build it as we are applying it together. So we are not coming up as experts. We're not going to show you some research or anything like that at all. But all we're just going to share will be our experience as a church, as we are trying this thing together, and what we are learning and what we have found working or not, and just our commitment to continue in this way for the next season as well. So I'm really hoping that after what we have had to share, there will be just Q&A and questions and just engaging in that light. So let me pray for us, and then I'll just get us started. So, Father, we thank you for just another opportunity as brothers to just be gathered together, just to wrestle. What might you be calling us as far as a greater faithfulness in our teaching and our preaching in this local church, so that we'll be a faithful steward of this calling that you're placing on our life, to be able to preach faithfully your word to your people. And yet also, Lord, we want to be faithful as well to ensuring that, Lord, there's greater health, and in the way that we do this, in such a way that proclaims your kingdom and does not just build our own. So come and just be with us together as we just chat this out a bit through, and just give us greater insights and thoughts and ideas for how we may actually apply this idea of just team preaching and what it may look like. So come and be with us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So just to give you just a plan for where we will be going, we'll just tell you a little bit of what led us as a church to this point in particular, to try this out, and then the reasons why beyond it, and then just share with you some of our hows, how we looking to put this together, and then some lessons that we've learned along the way as we've been trialing this, and then how we are looking to improve it in the next year come forward, and then just deal with two perhaps questions or objections that some people may have in trialing this, and then we'll open the floor up for questions and try our best to answer it if we have the answer or not. So firstly, just to explain to you just BBC's journey while we arrived to this in particular. So it really was sparked firstly through a trip that Ross, who is and was our lead pastor, and Tumi, who's the NBC lead pastor, and Mero, who's our operations director. They attended the Exponential Conference in the US last year in 2016, around about April. And Exponential, if you know anything about them, it's all about kind of how do we build multiplying churches that keep on multiplying in an effective way, and building leaders along the way at every level of the church. And so at that conference, as they went together, really just the burden to want to see our church really not just plant churches, by plant churches that plant churches and really continuously be a church that is really big on multiplying at all levels. And there as well, as they went to that conference, that burden really on their hearts as they came back. And just the whole idea of the church in Antioch, once you look at the church in Antioch, how they were able to send Paul and Barnabas out, their very best in a sense, in some ways, be able to send them out to go plant more work, trusting in the leadership and the gifting that they currently had to keep that going. And so we really, as they came out, provoking the elders in thought, we really started just thinking, hey, we want to be an Antioch-like church and really be moving as a church towards growing for going, so that we will not just be a church that will be content to gather a group of people at BBC and be faithful with the BBC crowd and gathering people and our ministry, but we actually want to see the ministry of BBC, the ministry that we do here at BBC, really result in more churches being planted, more leaders being sent out, and more preachers being developed. And so with that idea of wanting to really be growing for going, and we just started to realize if we'll be passionate about that, really, that we want to be able to grow so that we could be sending people out, then at the heart of that church planting should be at the heart of it. Then we want to see churches that plant churches. And then also ultimately, if we are saying we want to plant churches that plant churches, then we got to be about the business of training preachers and multiplying preachers. And so churches that plant churches ought to be churches that multiply preachers as well. And so that became a matter of conviction for us, that we're saying if we'll be serious about multiplication, then we've got to also see multiplication at the level of preaching as well. And that cannot be something that we sort of shrink back on or feel the pressures of drawing a crowd, leading us to do a particular thing. Or so we just prompt out Kevin there because Kevin is the flavor of the month and not look to do anything different. We're saying, no, if really we believe in church of making disciples, who make disciples, churches that plant churches, then we've got to reproduce at a level of preachers that train other preachers, that are able to groom and develop other preachers. And so that then became a conviction that we wanted to live by as a church. And this was around about May last year.
Sure. So that's what has led us to this point. And we've been running, as Buddy said, since May last year. And we have kind of what we call a preaching snake. And so we've got essentially in the BBC family of churches, we classify as three churches or three services, if you will. Three churches are probably, or three congregations is probably a better description. And so MBC, which is our Midrand plant, and then BBC 8 a.m., which is 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., and then BBC PM, which is our 4 and 6 p.m. Those are essentially three different churches. And so we have what we call a preaching snake. We have different preachers constantly at those places, and we kind of mix that up constantly, so you don't have one preacher preaching four services every single Sunday. So the why of it, why are we continuing with this, and we're going to continue with this, by the way, and I think the why is important, because if you don't have a strong enough why, then when it gets difficult, you'll stop doing it. So for why, the why for us is firstly, we believe genuinely, we just come out of a series in Corinthians where Paul deals with the fact that the body of Christ is gifted with many different gifts, every single member of the body of Christ. So if we believe that the Holy Spirit has gifted the body with various gifts, including teaching, by the way, then we can't then leave the teaching, the preaching of the word necessarily to one particular person. It makes sense for us then to discover other people that have a teaching and preaching gift so we can develop that. And in that way, the Holy Spirit continues to edify and build up the body of Christ. And so we think that if you have one singular voice, that is actually limiting what God can do in and through the local church. And so multiplicity of voices just shows that we believe in the fact that the Holy Spirit gifts people within the body of Christ, and part of that gifting is teaching and preaching. And so that's the one why we continue to do this. Secondly, as Buddy has already alluded to, we have a conviction about multiplication at all levels. And so if we believe that we should multiply and go out into all the world, then how are we going to do that at a local church level? What are we doing at various levels to multiply ourselves? And so teaching and preaching is absolutely one of those. We've got to duplicate ourselves. We've got to make sure that we're training up other voices. And so there's this multiplicity going on constantly at various levels, and that includes obviously teaching and preaching. Then what we've observed, and we hold to this, is the health of the congregation and the health of the preacher. So when you've got a preaching team, multiplicity of voices, it makes your congregation healthier, we believe, and it also makes the preacher or preachers healthier, so to speak. And so if I were to focus a little bit just on the preacher, from a work and rest perspective, just merely from that perspective, it is better. There's longevity in that. Preachers are exhausted and end up with all kinds of difficulties, physiological difficulties, health issues. And you've got to ask yourself, because sometimes these guys push themselves beyond their own limitations. We are limited. We are finite because we're human. And so there's only so much you can do. And so we can leverage a gift, which we did with Ross, by the way. We leveraged a wonderful gift. But at some point we realized with Ross, if we keep on pushing him, this is not going to end well for him. And so we want to make sure that preachers remain healthy. And God has limited us. He's placed us in these bodies. And so part of that is a good work and rest balance. And so we want to leverage whoever's strongly gifted in their preaching, but we also want to give them adequate rest and make sure that there's longevity in their gifting and their ability to exercise them. And then healthy congregation. Here's the difficulty. Preference is the greatest opposition to people receiving the living word. So people have preference, right? Like that preacher, like that preacher. And what you do is if you're constantly exposing your congregation to one voice, and it is a good voice, that's their preference. And they won't listen to other voices, or certainly not to the same degree. And so we want to make the Word of God the hero, and not the preacher. Now, we accept that there's gifting. We appreciate gifting. As I said, Ross was an exceptionally gifted preacher. He still is. But he won't be with us next year, right? And we've got some gifting in our team at various levels, and we'll keep on improving and growing. And the gift is important, but the word is more important. Mm. And so we want to grow a congregation that values the word more than they value the gift of preaching. And so that makes for a healthier congregation, all right? So for those two reasons. Thirdly, under the why, is we want to avoid the celebrity culture that exists within even the body of Christ, all right? We're quick to point our finger at Hollywood, and Bollywood, and then we have Theologywood, whatever it is. You know, you've got that sector there, and within the body of Christ, we create these kind of celebrities, and both ways. So pastors make themselves celebrities, preachers make themselves celebrities, and the congregation make them celebrities as well. And then you're sitting with this big monster that you've got to continually feed. And so we want to move away from that and move away from the celebrity culture that often can exist. And then you have a very pointy top, right? And so you have one or two people or one person that your congregation or people trust and the rest are not trusted. What happens when that person leaves? What happens when something goes wrong? Then everything falls apart. We can't have that. The body of Christ is far more than just one preaching voice. It's much greater than that. And then lastly, just under the why we continue to do that is because we believe, and we have found this in our experience, it's been difficult at times, but so good. You know when something hurts so good? Because people rub you up the wrong way and that we can't agree. And we've got about 8 people sitting in this room. And so that would include the preaching team, which is part of the pastoral team, the guys that preach. And then we've got our church planting residents that are part of that preaching team. We've got one or two ladies there. Ange is our theologian of sorts. She writes a lot of our course material. She's brilliant. She sits in those meetings to bring some theology to us as well and help us there. We've got Ronell, who sits there from planning perspective, and so we've got multiplicity of voices in that room, and what happens is we wrestle through some stuff at times, and sometimes you want to bring something to bear, and people are not necessarily in agreement, and that's frustrating, because I have the voice of reason yet, you know, you should listen to me, and God has a way of just bringing that humility, so it deepens the quality of our theology. That's what we found, because we go deeper, we ask questions, but why do you say it says that? Why do you believe this is what Paul was saying? Why is he not saying that? But Paul said this in that text. And so we wrestle with one another, which really makes our theology much deeper, both in our hermeneutics and in our homiletics, by the way. So both in the way that we exegete the scriptures and in the way that we actually deliver it. So application to our congregation. And so we want to exegete our culture and our congregation and make sure that we're taking the truth and applying it in such a way that the people sitting in front of us obviously will receive it well. It will make sense to them. It will speak into their everyday context that they're living every day. And having that multiplicity of voices really helps us to do that better and better and better. Because I can come up with illustrations, but they're very narrow-minded. They're very me. Yeah. And they don't necessarily speak into this context as well as Buddy's illustrations might speak into this context from his perspective. And so we learn from one another. So we're not alone in this. And what we realize is that there is like this vault of treasure accessible through plurality that singularity simply doesn't possess. So me, myself, and I'm limited. But when we have a group of people, all with the Holy Spirit, all gifted, all working hard and studying the scriptures together, now you've got this richness that you can draw from. And so that's why we will continue to do it. And that's why we're doing it in the first place.
Great. So then moving into the house, and again, this is, like we said, only we about a year and a half in trying to figure this out. So this is what we instituted, thinking, well, would it work, would it not? And we're just going with it, and we'll look later at how we looking to adapt it a bit better. So we thought like maybe just four things there quickly just to highlight would be just advanced preparation. So it will require you needing to prepare in advance, because you cannot just do the process in the week that you are preaching and think it yields some stuff. And so as a church, we decided to do like 10 days in advance. So we meet currently every Wednesday planning for the following week, Wednesday. So we review a bit the week that has passed. Then we sit and work for the week that's up ahead. So 10 days in advance. Then the preaching preparation as individuals. So we are expecting that as individuals, so the eight people in the room that arrive there, that you've done some pre-reading, like you would do as you're getting ready to prepare for any sermon, that you're reading commentaries, you're reading the text, you're engaging various kind of media, maybe listening to a sermon, all that stuff. So as individuals, you're preparing. Then together we have a preaching prep meeting for 2 hours where we actually sit down and then wrestle through the text as a team together. And usually also in that process, we give the person who will be preaching that particular text has got a first draft privileges. So in a sense, like, so there's really a plurality that's walking in the room. We want to all be on board with what we've discussed, but like that person we are hoping comes to the meeting kind of leading us ahead. Hey, this is where I'm thinking to go with this. And then we begin to kind of wrestle together there. And then quickly, who's in the room? Kevin has already mentioned there, but like I just think it's not so much the people, but like just so that you'll get a sense of the diversity of the people that we have in the room. So currently, as I said, we have Ross, who's our lead pastor. Then you have Kevin, who's our care and counseling pastor. Then you have me as a gospel community pastor. Then you got Toomey, who's the lead pastor in Midrand Bible Church. And then Angela Goodrich, who's our content and courses coordinator. Then Ronald King, who's also a ministry navigator and assistant to our lead pastor. Then Patrick Natamwe, who was a trainee pastor at Midrand. And then Matt Thomas and Ryan Jones, who are our church planting residents. And then often time we just get guests who want to come in and try to see what we do or something else we'll talk about together, team preaching with other churches as well. So guys from other churches have joined us to preach a series together. And so we're working all together in there. And then lastly, we try to, by before the Thursday that we will, the Thursday in that week that we'll preach it, then to have the sermon out and it is distributed to all the team. So the final kind of manuscript, what you would say, and then everybody else gets to kind of crit it near the end. That goes out on the Thursday because then it helps you with all your media and stuff, PowerPoint and stuff like that. I see Jenny's in the room. She loves receiving it sometime on Sunday. On Saturday evening. And then has to work, so typically, you know how these things are. Oh, Thursday, we'll have it done, but then, you know, things can still linger, but like that's sort of the deadline. By Thursday, everyone has got it, and so that Ange can then begin to draw up gospel community notes off that manuscript for our small groups, and then also we got media and stuff happening there. So that's a bit of the how of how we're trying to do this.
So the heart doesn't always work out the way that we want it to.
Yeah.
So,
like this week, actually, this week we haven't, because of this conference, so, yeah. So.
And this week and when I preach, you're never going to receive the notes on the Thursday. So what have we learned? And so we want to be honest about some learnings, obviously. What we've learned is that it's much harder than it sounds. It really is much harder than it sounds. You can make it seem quite slick and sexy and whatever, as you present it and go, hey, this is the way to go, but it really is messy and it's hard to get this thing to work, but we haven't given up and I don't think we will. We're going to keep on working hard to make it work. It does involve more work So there's more work involved for everyone, because now you don't have one guy prepping a sermon. You've got eight people prepping a sermon, in essence. And so that takes time to read and study and to get into the theology, etc., etc. It's more listening, which we don't tend to want to do. We want to do more talking than listening. So we've got to hear each other out, which takes longer. There's a longer process. And also it's challenging to your own preferences. And so a lot of learnings there, which makes it harder. And then what we found as well, for the time spent prepping for the meeting and the discussion, there's still too much time. So we take the Wednesday, which is 10 days before the Sunday that we're preaching that particular message. We're still finding that whoever's preaching that message from that Wednesday still needs to do far too much work leaving that meeting. We need to change it, and we're going to look at some things in a moment. But right now, what we're saying is it's the Wednesday meeting is not being as effective as it should and can be to reduce the actual workload on the preacher going off following the meeting on Wednesday. Does that make sense? We'll allude to that just now. We'll clarify that in a moment when we talk about how we're going to improve things going forward. There's greater accountability with this, which is something that is healthy that churches need. We're accountable to one another. There's a mutual accountability. So whether you're the lead pastor or the lead preacher, whether you're a phenomenal preacher, whatever your title is, when we sit in that room, we're all peers. And so there's an accountability there. So you need to get to the meeting on time. You need to be at the meeting every Wednesday, right? Unless you've got a valid excuse. These are things that keep us accountable. We need to honor those times. And we need to bring to the meeting what we're expected to bring to the meeting. So if you had to read some stuff, do some pre-reading, do some studying, whatever it is, then we expect that you have it at those meetings. It is a learning for us because right now we kind of feel that we're not quite hitting the mark there. Okay. But that accountability is incredibly important. And what it does is it guards against pride and it brings forth humility, which is far more important than a great message, by the way. Okay. And so it speaks to our character. And I think as we're preparing messages, God is continually dealing with our character. So we're representing not just the Word of God, but we're also doing that with a certain character every single Sunday, which is what we call the subtext, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that God is dealing with that constantly in our hearts and in our lives. We find that preaching growth through reps and engagement, so this has certainly helped our preaching. We've grown in our preaching because we're preaching more often, because not one person, singular person, is preaching every Sunday. And then also the constant engaging in Scripture and theology and thinking through sermons with other guys preaching, that causes you to grow as a preacher. Mm. And so it's very, very helpful. And that in turn then inspires preaching confidence. And so when you stand up on a Sunday, you've done 10 days in advance, you've done the work, you've submitted that to a team, you've wrestled through that for 2 hours, you've come up with something, you've then gone to do the work, you've presented that work again to that team. Before you preach it on a Sunday, when you get up on a Sunday, you know you're preaching the word. And you can just give it stick. And so it does inspire a great measure of confidence when you've got the go-ahead and you can just do that. You know you've got buy-in, you know your theology is sound, you know your sermon is good, and you can just really give it stick to the glory of God. And then team church preaching. So it's not just MDC that is included, but what we've done as well is we've actually included Rooted Fellowship, or they've included us. We've been able to be a part of them as well. And so at some points we've actually shared a series, so we've tracked together going through certain books of the Bible. And so Arne from Rooted Fellowship, he would preach here sometimes because we're all prepping the same sermons, and some of us would preach there, and so we would just kind of round robin this thing, which is a beautiful thing to be able to speak into a different context. And again, that just shows the body of Christ coming together. We respect and honor the Word of God, and we preach in the Word of God, and it's nice just to have a different voice in your pulpit every now and again.
So then, if that's what we've been trying to do and why, so then how to change it and improve it as we're moving forward? Like Kevin has already alluded, so we all have BBC will be going through a transition with a lead pastor role, and he sat more on, in terms of the custodian of preaching. So both managing that change and then thinking about what we are trying to do with the preaching team for it. So how do we look to improve that a bit better? So we, like Kevin had said, so it requires preparation, personal preparation for you as one or six, and it could be one or six, one or eight, one or four, one or three, you know, stuff before the meeting. And we found actually we need to actually set a bare minimum on that. What's the bare minimum of preparation that you need to do as an individual to coming into that meeting, or else then we end up having as many people who have in the room and they all work differently, you know. So some guy wants to read five commentaries, you know, in his preaching prayer, with some want to watch, you know, six videos, you know, preaching video, all this kind of stuff. How do we kind of set a bare minimum? Then we know, at least know, you know, that everyone around the table is coming from a set or kind of a certain level and standard together. And so for next year, so we haven't even tried this, so we don't know how effective it will be, but for next year we're saying, okay, we got the bare minimum that we'll say will be, you got to at least read the text in four different translations. And then read one study Bible and then one commentary on the text. So as the bare minimum entering the room, so that we all know at least like we've done some research, as opposed to well, you rock up there on Wednesday morning and you're like, what's the passage again? And then started there, it's not going to reap the fruit that we need in those 2 hours. Then secondly, we're just realizing that we actually need more advanced planning in our thoughts, both in terms of time, material, content, as well. So what we've realized has been, so this process of together, wrestling that together, really you unearth some golden golds and diamond and precious stones together that we started to realize through some of the particular series that we've done. We are like, man, have we done this, you know, two months earlier, or you know, 4 weeks earlier, we would have actually preached this differently. We could have done this or that. And so we are realizing actually this team preaching kind of approach actually is helping you be able to do more and beyond just your Sunday preaching time. And so for next year, so at the second week of January, we actually are saying, no, we actually want to go on a preaching team retreat that would then have us actually work far ahead. So we're setting a target of about 2 months ahead in our preaching team. So, and those will be clear kind of 2 months of like, it's not just kind of, oh, we've looked at it, but like, yes, actually, the outline, the core of what this message we want to do. So roughly, so I put it into word count. I know various people work differently. If you're a full manuscript guy or just bullet points or stuff, but I just in putting it in words so that you just get an idea of what we're trying to do. So let's say if roughly most people will say will preach 3,000 words per se. Right now, after 2 hour meeting, we only getting to about like maybe 500 words. You know, at the end of those 2 hours, we want to actually, we are saying, no, we think actually we get more mileage if we could move it up to about 1,500, you know, so that it also liberates the guy who will preach that message outside that time to actually not have to go again and pick up that commentary that so-and-so mentioned that was really good that I haven't read, you know, and stuff. So really be able to really stretch that and then do that for about 2 months. So that now you're working really well in advance, and then it helps you to begin to think more creatively, which is the next point. Just gives you an ability to be more creative and actually have a greater impact beyond the Sundays. So just to tell you some stories as we've just done this together. So we are preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians for the for 9 months of this year, and we got to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul is talking about believers married to non-Christians, they shouldn't divorce them unless the person decides to leave and all that stuff. And because we got into this rhythm of just preparing well in advance, and that was just 10 days in advance, it dawned on us, Kevin and I were preparing it together, we were like, actually, instead of me as a married man who's never been divorced and hasn't been married long enough to actually perhaps consider divorce, you know, and stuff, begin to kind of talk about it, this issue, why don't we actually talk to, you know, people in our congregation that have been through this? And a particular lady came to mind to us, who has been a faithful Christian, a faithful attender in our congregation, been married to a non-believer for 40 years. and to be able to introduce access as a story to try to say, okay, when Paul says these things about how you ought not to leave and you ought to stay for the sake of Christ, what does it mean to you? And to be able to bring that out in a sermon as a, like, hey, these aren't just hypothetical stuff we're talking about, but here's somebody who this really means something to living that out. Now, I don't know about Kevin because he's a lot smarter than me. I just never was going to get there if I had 5 days to prepare that sermon. But like then prepared and preparing together, you start to kind of become more creative and become more kind of, you start to see more, you know, along with that. So like I said, we were in 1 Corinthians, so what do you do with 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7? You know, where Paul talks about, you know, sexuality, homosexuality, and all that stuff. Again, because we were preparing together and preparing in advance, we started to realize, actually, we can't just preach this stuff on Sunday. You know, and especially the part of homosexuality on a Sunday, and then, you know, take the pin out, the grenade, throw it in the congregation, and think they'll just be okay. And so it led us in to say, hey, actually, we need some midweek sort of kind of gathering. What would those be? And so it led to our Grace and Truth event that we did in the midweek. 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, talking about spiritual gifts. Again, you know, people can be all over the show when it comes to these things. So again, you got 30 minutes, 40 minutes on a Sunday to set things right that people have built over years. You're just not going to accomplish that, you know, and stuff. And so that led to us during the month of August to do a Gifts Uncovered, you know, series to run in tandem with that during the midweek for our gospel communities, where we sought to not only kind of teach, but equip them and help them discover gifts, be able to connect them to particular areas in the church and ministry, and just helping them to really not only hear what gifts are, but able to put that together. And again, we probably wouldn't have done it being able to utilize those kind of mediums if it weren't for preparing together and preparing in advance, because all those ideas were not necessarily the preacher's ideas. But because you had the room was a little bit bigger, someone had a crazy idea in their mind that they dared to share, and then resonated with some. And then we begin to say, well, what might it look like to put those in practice? And so we are finding, actually, we can actually more wholesomely and holistically disciple our people beyond just a Sunday if we take a team's approach to our teaching and gets us working in advance and thinking well ahead on those things. And then, I'm just trying to think. Oh, yes. And then how we want to, we're realizing that, so something that we realize, and this is not a pat on our back, it's just to say where we are as a church. We feel as a church, BBC, when we look at our teaching, we think our struggle isn't so much on our hermeneutics and our theology. We think like, no, we're getting that most by and large right. We think actually our challenge will be on our homiletics, how we present things and how we're doing things. And so now, and so as we're looking forward to next year, we are actually saying, hey, we want to try to nail down both be able to help our preachers with kind of what's a preaching grid, a thoughtful preaching grid that we may use to really help us really engage people well, a lot more better than we currently are doing. And then secondly, we're finding as preachers, like, so while more reps is great, you know, you need more reps to get better, but we actually also think like you actually need to be practicing your preaching with your peers. You know, and stuff. And so I think in a room like this, there will be, I just guess, and I know a few people in the room as well, I just think there's lots of experience as preachers. And so we may start to feel or get to a point or level where we feel like, oh, preaching, I could do it in my sleep. But like, to really keep, again, a humble and not prideful heart that said, hey, I want to continue to grow as a preacher. And so in trying to grow with a preacher, I'll work on it, my art. And how us in the busyness of our weeks as pastors, you know, where you got maybe just a week to turn on deliver on a sermon. I think the last thing we get we actually think about is actually how we're gonna present it. You know, we're lucky if I get by Sunday, I've got some stuff to say. You know, I'm not even thinking whether my presentation is there. And so we are talking about next year to actually say, no, guys, I think we get better as preachers if we start to present what we will be preaching to our preaching team, so that it does two things. One, it helps us begin to kind of build the kind of mind, kind of connection you need to your preach. You know, so I remember Bible College, one of our bishops, you know, said like a great sermon, and I think it's right. He says like a great sermon is one that grows on you over time. And I think all of us, if we've preached for a number of times, I always feel like the best sermon I will give will be the same sermon on Monday. That I wake up on Monday, I'm like, you just give me that pulpit and you'll see. And so again, why? Because you've just gone through it and all of a sudden starting to click and stuff. And so we want to create within our preaching team not just the ability to know what we're going to say, but to actually understand what I'm going to say. That I really understand my talk as opposed to I've memorized it, I know what to say. And so that will come with practice, you know, and stuff. And so we want to create that space in our preaching team. So then moving us then to the next part of the segment will just be, okay, so I know that's a lot and I'm sure you've got questions. So we want to just tackle just two questions that may come up. Or objections that may come up to this approach. The first one would be to say, well, okay, that's great, BBC. Well, look at you. You got a big staff. You have a gospel community pastor. I wish we had one of those. You've got a counseling pastor. You've got a contemporary. Like you seem to be well resourced compared to you know our church, who is lacks kind of a resource from people and team. I'm the lone soldier at my church trying to do this. So where does this approach really actually would work with me? You know, in pursuing that. And so we would say again, and it's what we shared at the beginning, we're saying we are not driven by this because we have the resources to do this or we don't have the time and so we need to kind of invest stuff in order to, we have ample time and so we want to try and invest stuff to keep us busy. Not at all. What has driven us to this is, again, conviction. But we're saying, hey, if we all be a church, that multiplies. It really will be at the heart of what we are about, is making disciples who make disciples, planting churches that plant churches, building leaders that build leaders. Then we must then also, one particular way we see multiplication needing to happen will be also preachers that train other preachers. And so it's not a matter of resource or anything like that at all. It is just simply, like we are saying, hey, we are convicted that as preachers, does the preaching gift die with us? Once, you know, I've run my race, I'm too tired, and so does it die with us? Or are we really going to impart to the next generation the ability to keep on doing what we have been doing? And so I know, and that's at the heart of why we're doing this. We're saying, hey, we don't just want BBC to be known for great preaching, but we want a BBC to be known for a place that has developed preachers who go on to develop more other preachers. And I think that's what's driving this in us. And so a crazy idea even. So if you're coming from a church, maybe you're looking around, you're saying, hey, it's not obvious who to actually do bring in the room with me, then we would say, like, well, consider even other churches in your area. If you share the same doctrine and philosophy of ministry, why not, you know, with the senior pastor of the church down the road? And just saying, hey, brother, wouldn't it be nice if we tried to preach through one book of the Bible together, you know, during the same time, and let us work together on this? So it doesn't just have to be, like, on your staff team or within your church, but, like, a church, but I just thinking crazy idea, no, like, but like just engaging it and encouraging just the spirit of like working alongside one another as churches that want to see the kingdom advance more than our kingdom or our influence advance beyond that. So various ways to just think about it if we are really feeling like it's a conviction on what we want to hold, to see ourselves grow as preachers, but not only grow as preachers, but then see others also be able to grow as preachers that go on to train others who grow as preachers. So.
Cool. So that's one objection. I'll deal with one more, and then I think we'll open it up to some Q&A. You'd be interested to ask any questions. So the second one might be, well, it's the first time this has ever even entered my mind. Never thought about this. Where on earth do we start? And it's always about just starting in simplicity and starting small, like any book. And so we stole this from the book called Exponential, because it's just golden, and something that we've been thinking about for a long time at BBC, again, in various parts of our ministry, in fact, across the board in our ministry, how we can actually live this out. So if you follow this morning, is there one person? The question is there just one person? So even if you've got a small church, is there one person that you can grab a hold of, that you can start this process with? And so this is what the process looks like. This might be helpful. First of all, I do, and you watch. Okay? And so you find someone, and you make it known that somehow they've got a desire to preach, a desire to pastor, a desire to get into the ministry, whatever it is. Maybe they're already serving. Maybe it's your youth pastor, whatever it is. One person say, okay, I preach, and you watch. So there's an intention there. That means every Sunday, you watch. I preach, and you watch. All right? Secondly, we move to I do, and you help. All right? And so what we do is now we prep together, perhaps. You come in, we'll prep the sermon together, and you help me to prep the sermon. That might mean I'm going to ask you to go and read some commentaries. I might ask you to read some material and bring that back to me. And so I'm still doing, but you're helping. The third one is you do, and I help. Okay, now we're shifting, right? Now you're going to prep the sermon, and I'll help you. Or we'll prep it together, but you'll prep your own sermon alongside mine. I'll help you, and at the end, let's see what that sermon looks like, right? And so you do, and I help. Then we move to you do, and I watch. And so maybe this is just at a staff level or a small devotion somewhere where you begin to give this person opportunity to do, and you observe, and you watch, and you give feedback. And so you've moved one more step. And then lastly, you do and someone else watches. So when they've been doing long enough, you've been watching, they're good to go. Now we start the process again. Now this doesn't happen overnight. This doesn't even happen over necessarily 6 months. Mm. This happens over time, right? But what happens is that if over 2 years you can grow one person, maybe over the next year you can grow another two people. That means you've got three. And that's multiplication. And so the whole idea is to bring someone along. This is very relational as well. And I think we need more of this from the preaching pulpit, particularly reproducing ourselves in this way where we can bring people along. And I think we will strike gold. We'll probably discover some glorious and wonderful gifting out there that we never knew even existed. And so just a methodology that you can follow that I think is very helpful, something that we intend following here at BBC.
So that's us. That's from all from us. And like we said, just wanted to tell you our story. We're not experts and stuff, and we're trying to discover this. And so really sharing with amongst brothers some stuff. And so if you have any thoughts or question, if you're already doing it, you know, and you've learned some stuff, like please, like, you know, let us know, you know, input to us and stuff like that, because we just want to learn. And again, just driven by the Great Commission to see the kingdom advance. And I think we share that all in common. And so that's why we want to try to attempt some big things for God that are doomed to fail unless he be in it. And so that's what's driving us. And so any thoughts or comments or questions and stuff, and if there are questions, we'll try to our best to answer, and if we don't know, we'll tell you. So William was here, and then my brother at the back there, and then we'll go Quint. No.
It's great.
William, you go.
Okay. Most preachers, the worst thing of preaching is post-mortem. Our wives are obviously our best feedback and critics for most of the time. Sometimes helpful, but sometimes not so demoralizing, but mostly encouraging.
Sure.
You hinted at it, but your meeting the following week is your Wednesday meeting. Would you look back and critique a bit, or do you avoid that, or do that on email?
Yeah, so if we look back, we had a grid that we tried to apply for a while, which we didn't do diligently, but we're certainly going to be looking at doing that far more diligently going into the future. So definitely, not only peer review, but also your own personal view. So watching your own sermons, which is something that we discussed with Dr. Tony just a moment ago. Watch your own sermons and crit yourself. But then there is a grid by which we can do that, which we're looking to develop. And so absolutely, I think that is necessary. And we'll probably be far more thorough on that going forward.
Yeah. It is definitely a chink in our armor right
now.
We haven't really developed that process as well as we would like it to be. So.
Valuable.
And it's constructive criticism, right? But also, can I just say this? I think sometimes we're allergic to both. We're either allergic to criticism, or we're also allergic to encouragement. We need both.
Yeah.
So you guys know the preaching blues. Yeah. Gonna, you can knock it out the park, but after you walk off that, you just feel, was it just me?
Yeah.
And you feel depressed. It's weird. You just feel, ah. And so some encouragement goes a long way, right? So we need encouragement. There is a fine line. Okay, we mustn't live off people's affirmation, but encouragement is needed. But at the same time, constructive criticism is equally needed because you want to get better.
Yeah.
So is that okay with you?
Absolutely. Thanks.
Yeah, one thing, we do the same thing at our church, and it's just encouraging that you also are doing it. But I just want to know, how do you navigate, especially if you reach at, not controversial, most of the time, we are super controversial, but reach at a scripture where almost every pastor has got his own view. Take the example of Romans 8, when talk about to be this nation, whom if one knew, like, every pastor has got like his own view, because we come from different colleges. How do you navigate with such kind of issue when it raises in the middle of their conversation?
So did everyone hear the question? So where there's not alignment doctrinally, so the question is, how do you do that if you can't align doctrinally because some pastors have different theological view on a particular scripture or a particular doctrine? So how do you do that going forward? Well, obviously what we would say is you need to find people that are aligned with you doctrinally. And so we talk about open-handed issues and closed-handed issues at BBC. So closed-handed issues as far as doctrine is concerned are things that we're not willing to negotiate, things that we feel strongly about that we're not willing to depart from. And so things like the Trinity, for instance, we will not depart from that. And so if another church doesn't share that, hey, we, you know, glory to God, you do your thing for Jesus, but we're not going to play in the same pond. And so we want to find people, I think, that we're doctrinally aligned with, particularly in the main doctrines. If there's not alignment on open-handed issues where it's a little bit more loose, we can wrestle through things. And there you can really wrestle the scriptures and possibly come to some kind of a compromise in those areas, depending on what it is. But there are some doctrinal issues that are non-negotiables, and you wouldn't be able to work with another church unless you're aligned on those things. Mm. It's that simple.
The other thing I'll just say there, which is, again, not propping up BBC, but just to let you know one of our convictions on it. Like we as a church, as an eldership, we really truly believe in plurality and we truly believe in consensus. And so there's no issue where when we arrive in those issues, the guys are committed to, we will wrestle it out until we can all step out of this room, hand in hand, say, I will defend this position. And that's what we hold even within our preaching team. So some examples, even in Corinthians, for example, we were talking about the gift of apostleship. No, even in this room, like, you know, you will stand, there'll be different kind of views on that. And so he has a view, to me has a view, Ross had a view, I've got a view. And we were saying, like, look, we're not preaching something on Sunday. So here's the worst thing you don't want to do. You want to say, well, brother, we'll leave it up to you, you know. And so you say one thing, and then Timothy in the congregation does not like what Toomey has just said. He comes to Kevin, and then Kevin says, yeah, actually, you know, I think Toomey is wrong on that. I would have said this. You approach buddy, and then you end up actually creating some sort of dissension on views. Now we are saying, guys, we'll wrestle that out. And so believing in this, that because we share the Spirit of God together, surely that Spirit who's at work within us all could actually lead us to a place we're together. Yes, again, compromise. Remember, we mentioned about like challenge your own preferences. So I'll tell you, be honest with you, what we preach on wouldn't have been if you left your buddy to preach on. But I'd rather at a place wrestling with my brothers, not believing that what I believe on this thing is more right than the Spirit of God who's living in my brothers and leading them to believe. But I had to learn our compromise that we arrived at a place where we're saying, yes, all of us can really look at each other in the heart and say, yes, we will defend this position. And that has filtered through from our elders. So there's no issues at our eldership that the guys don't fight out until we've all arrived at the same conclusion. We don't just say, like, you know, you've got your opinion, I've got mine. It's not a conviction we hold here at the church. So
you don't preach if you don't agree.
Eh?
We all must
No, it's not saying like, you know, again, on the small side, it's not like, oh, the analogy, we must all feel like the analogy is like the same. It's not that. We're saying, hey, if this is a doctrinal manner, we got to say something about head coverings, which was, you know, 1 Corinthians 11. What are we going to say? Like, does this thing apply or does not that apply? We're not just going to be like, okay, Kevin thought this, and so Kevin, you go with it or whatever. We say, no, that's all. We hold to that view together, and we'll be prepared to defend it. So,
yeah.
So that's the test at an eldership level. All our elders, you know, any issue will say, hey, you got a rough at any issue, no matter the fuss of it, for you to be able to say where the eldership takes a stance on it, that you will be able to defend it. And that's the test, you know, and that has filtered down to our preaching level as well. So,
I think Prince had one, and then we'll come here.
Just a thought before my question. The thought on that feedback is so critical, and developing a culture of good feedback. So we try. You have to have a good. We try do wells and do differently. And we came across some secular research that says people need to hear 7 do wells.
Everyone,
yeah. So just be careful in your feedback. Like you might say, you didn't do this very well, and that's all they'll hear until you probably give them about 6 or 7. So just there is secular research out there on how to give feedback.
That's seminary classes on preaching, right?
Yeah.
Like you preach, and then everyone is like, oh, what did you do well? Yeah, yeah, you good posture, the good stuff, and then like, oh, you got that, you got that. Guys are just waiting, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something we try. So we find that helpful. And you're only allowed to give one at a time. So my question is, you said the guy preaching has first passage to lay down something on the Wednesday. Are you following that cross-centered exposition sort of model that Tony put out? Like he's got 3 points, there's a redemptive connection to Christ. Is that your sort of expectation?
So not that, yeah, do you want to...
Can I just be raw with it? Well, has it been a great for this year? We didn't have one. So we just walked in and then trying to preach some stuff together. And so we've arrived now at a place where we're saying, no, actually, we need a grid. And we're not using Tony's, stuff. We actually, I think it's fair to just say, we're going to try out renovation, a church in Atlanta, what they've said there with some, edits moving along the way, on how they use it. So they've got a totally different grid. But like I think...
Something, you've got to
come
with like 3
yes.
points or something. Or just
yeah.
structure.
What we have had is whoever's preaching, there was an expectation that they would lead a discussion,
yeah.
that they have done the work. And ideally, we would have what we call a proposition statement. So
yeah, like a main idea.
Yeah, and then kind of 3 points outlined. That was the minimum expectation, and then we thrash it out. And that did happen on occasion, but we missed them off there.
Yeah.
And just very quickly, on the Thursday, you said it gets emailed to the rest of the guys, but if I remember correctly, Ross is a full manuscript guy, but we have guys who just bullet point guys. Like, and there's no way, it's like our lead guy's a bullet point guy. There's no way in hell that Doug's going to give you a 3,000-word transcript. I mean, if he's lucky, he's got 20 words on his page. So what do you do there, like the different styles?
So this is where we stretch people. So if you want to be part of a team, so I think there's some flexibility, but everything on the page is what he says, every word.
Yeah.
Every
doesn't
word.
Waste every word. Tell you a quick story. When Buddy first joined you, we used to, Ross's preaching, so we're talking about an hour upwards, no, I'm kidding, 45 minute preach on average, and I was still sitting in an office doing some work while Buddy was preaching. It was his first preach, and ironically he had sent his notes off to Ross, who was sitting, I think, in the UK at the time. And because every word he says, he put on paper, manuscript. Ross doesn't work that way. Ross is also kind of a bullet point in between kind of a guy. So he sent an email back, said, dude, you've got to cull half your sermon here. You're going to spend an hour and a half in the pulpit and it's just going to be too long. And so Buddy dutifully went about culling his sermon. Ross not knowing that whatever's on the page is what he's saying. And at about 25 minutes into the sermon, 20 minutes, 25 mm-hmm. minutes into the sermon, they called me. I need to come, and because I was on announcement or something. I said, what do you mean? He said, he's done with his sermon. I said, what do you mean he's done with his sermon? 25 minutes in, because he preaches every word that he is actually on paper. And so it was something we laugh about today still. So
the boss told me to cut it, so I cut it.
I'm the boss. You should have said that to him. So what we're saying is that I think Ross is more of a bullet point kind of guy, but there's enough content there. There's a stretching, and we've got to stretch each other because we need to have something that we can vet, that we can theologically just make sure is
what are you
going to
say?
And Kev is also a bit like Ross on that. Also, the guys will say 2,005, and I'm like, oh, it's 4,000. he's going to say some stuff in between there, like, you know, so you have the freedom to do that. Yes, what we don't want to do. We don't want to, so for us, quit. Like, just saying for us, we're saying, like, look, guys, like, we can't get up there to preach with our congregation without no one actually knowing, you know, the bulk of what you're going to say, you know, and stuff. I just don't think it's, you know, for us, you know, it's saying, like, I think we need greater accountability along the way with that. But then also, to me, it's also a Buddha point. If to me had his way, you'll be Buddha points, you know, and stuff and things. And so we're finding a middle ground. So for me, I send him full manuscripts. I know other guys send, you know, the bulk in general, so that also you guard yourself, you know, and stuff, that you don't end up saying something out there that you then wish someone else had read and said, brother, don't say that, like, you know. So, but,
how do you decide on the passage of the text which you are going to use?
We preach exegetically, so we go through books of the Bible mostly, and so we break it up, and so we spend, as Buddy said, it was actually around about 7.5 months in the book of Corinthians, the First Corinthians. We did the whole letter of First Corinthians, and we literally chunk it up over that period. And so we preach verse by verse by verse through the Bible, which we do mostly. We do topical preaching, where we have a topic, but even in that, we stay very tight. We would agree on what text we should be using, what we should be drawing on, and we would go through the same process even with that, so that we make sure that theologically we're sound. So that's the way that we approach it. Fair answer?
Yeah, and we do have also a teaching a teaching committee that sits down and actually is thinking through, okay, what do we want to teach next year and stuff, and then what books of the Bible we want to do, how would it all fit during the course of the year, what are some, so we have that advanced planning stuff. So our 2018 one, like, so we saw the first draft of that, first final draft of that yesterday, you know, for 2018, so that way then we know the passages. Then if you know the passages, you can start working on them, you know, together.
Have any of the team felt somewhat stifled? Is there a danger of sort of locking a preacher in his personal style and personality? Is there enough freedom to feel I can still express it in a way that works for me, the personality of a preacher coming even through the text? Has any of the team expressed that feeling a little bit boxed in with the system, as amazing as it sounds? Has that been a problem? Not really.
So I think maybe speaking individually, I think for me, we've never talked about style. We're not trying, this is not about a style, trying to bring everybody into a particular style of preaching. That's not it. So Kevin is a different preacher than I am, and then Toomey is, and Ross is, and Matt is, who Ryan is. So the style of the preacher is not what we're trying to. It's the content that we want to work on, and what we're thinking about next year. We're saying with the whole practicing and preaching to one another, how do we help you hone in on your style better, whatever that style will be. I think where we felt a bit of the kind of, you know, straight jacket on it would be because we're all are different. We work differently. We all have our preferences in how we wanna work. Some of us want to do a lot of pre-planning before I would say anything. Some want to do a lot of talking before they read anything, you know, and all those kind of stuff. And that's where, like, the thing has kind of come in. So left to ourselves, we would have prepped differently than we do now. And it's learning the balance between, like, hey, there's something greater here than just kind of my own preference in how I want to work, and having to kind of hold that open-handed, as actually we found that this is actually making us better, you know. It is. So that's how I felt it. I don't know if you'll say something different.
Yeah, it's a good point. There can be frustration, but often it's self-imposed as well. And so I think we sometimes you judge your preaching based on other guys. And sometimes you want to fit a mold that's not necessarily you, but that's self-imposed sometimes. It's not necessarily imposed on you.
Yes.
So that's been part of my journey and my struggle. But it's also been very helpful to be part of a preaching team, because if I wasn't, I'm a charismatic by nature. So it'd be wild, a lot of spitting, and very shallow theology. I'm joking. But these guys have helped me. So often it's self-imposed, not necessarily by the team. Although every now and again, you might get buddies good at that, say, hey, you know, why did you say that, or why didn't you say that, which is good. So,
yes.
He was Daniel and then this gentleman, yeah.
I'm very much excited what I'm hearing now. I think I'm a pastor in a former settlement, and I've got two pastors I'm moving with. I think I've done part of that, you know, like I sit down, you do it. I do it, you listen. I've done that. And some of the times we have meeting and I've never come to a place where I say, this is how we do it. But maybe I just say in generally, when you're standing in front of people, look at the audience, blah, 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 but don't go too long. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will do some other things that's unusual, eh? When it comes to time. But then if my sermon is maybe like 5 minutes, then let me say that. And then at that 30th minute, the Holy Spirit just come and take over from you. And I don't think that's what like that. But I'm very much excited to hear that. First thing for me, for the first time when I stand in the pulpit and my senior pastor or my lead pastor is sitting there, it was a little bit scary. What will he say? Am I doing the right thing? Sometimes you see him writing things down, it was scary. But I think once you're in it, all of you as a group, as a team, it became easier. I'm so tempted to go and go deeper by that, because I was just talking to this young man that some of the times me as an African pastor, I've seen many pastors, they use the pulpit for the wrong things, because then we don't talk. Yes, you are preaching next week, and he come and say some other thing that I look down at. What? You know, so I'm trying to repeat as he's saying things. Say this. No, we don't say this. So I think that will help us in a perspective that we understand that we're in the same level. We are building the church. We are preaching the gospel. Well, I'm not limiting you, but then we are going this direction. If you're going to go out, sorry. You know, I think that I'm tempted to can go deep and sit with my preaching team and say, guys, that's where we're going. And that's how we're going to do things. But we still stick. As you speak about style, we're not taking your style out, but please stick on what?
Yes,
the content of what we believe in. Yeah, so I'm tempted. So
just a quick point on that, I think this must be driven relationally.
Yeah.
I think often we don't read these.
Yeah.
It's not driven through systems.
Yeah.
It's driven relationally.
Exactly.
Have a good relationship with people around you, honest,
yeah,
robust, humble relationships, and that will facilitate that. So.
Yeah. Can we take the last two questions, and then we'll need to get the music yourself.
I was going to ask, I think partly you answered it. I was going to ask, so on the team, who develops the series? Who comes up with, okay, next month we're going to go through this? Is it the preaching team?
Yeah, it'll be the preaching team, and that's what we'll be hoping with these preaching retreats that we do. So the 2 months ahead will be two series in particular that we're looking to try to develop together. And when we say develop together, we develop everything, you know, what are extra additional stuff we may need to do together. So it's that preaching and teaching committee.
Now, the manuscript itself, you say you don't, it's not a word-for-word manuscript. You can just highlight the bulletins, right?
So what we come up with in that meeting, we're trying to say, like, you know, there has to be a burning bush that's gonna cause you to steer away from it, you know, because we're saying, no, we sat together in the spirit, we wrestled this together, this is what we came up with as the outline and structure, that's what we're saying there. But like, then you can go in, like, add an illustration and do whatever you want to kind of do and stuff, but like, I think we'll get to we have to have an outline at the end of those two meetings, those meetings that we got to say, here's what it is. And so we're putting those words down. You could take that and then say more or less those stuff. But personally, so I'm a full manuscript guy, so I write every word I will say. Some guys aren't. We're not putting that expectation on some guys. So, but like, I think at BBC, judging the length of our sermons, you couldn't hand us like a one-pager with 5 lines. We probably will say, brother, you can't preach this. Like, even if it's good, like, you know, the 5 line will probably want to see more, you know, judging by just by length of our sermons. We're not just going to be content for guys just to say, yeah, my points, just trust me. Like, we'll say, yeah, we trust you to write it down.
So, yeah. Can we have one more question at the back there?
Yes. So my question was around... Buddy mentioning preaching committee to set up for the following year. So I was just thinking, kind of through the grid or the framework that they work through, what would that look like? Do you just hand over guys like a, hey guys, please sort us out for the next year, or is there kind of like a, this is what we're hoping to hit, this is where we feel the temperature of the church is, and so it would help to go through these things?
So on the teaching committee, so it's been also a work in progress evolved because we had some elders that have stepped down from eldership, all good reasons, like it wasn't anything bad and all that stuff. So currently with the teaching committee had been some of the elders, pastoral staff, and a few others that would meet, periodically throughout the year and saying, okay, what are we looking to teach, what are we looking to cover, and all that kind of stuff. But that has since evolved towards, so that teaching committee sort of throughout the year became also just actually the teaching committee, the preaching committee, you know, preaching team. Let me say preaching team. So teaching committee, preaching team. So that's where we're sitting there, just because some elders have stepped off, all that kind of stuff. So we're still saying, like, look, we want to probably have a teaching committee. So even within that preaching team, we actually have a teaching committee in some sense that is not formalized, but we want a teaching committee that's beyond just kind of full-time employed guys, yeah, but that has also some of our marketplace elders and maybe one or two others that will then holistically be thinking, where's the church at? What should we be hitting? And even that, you have a grid, you know, so you would think like, okay, like, so because we committed to expository preaching in a sense of like preaching full whole books of the Bible. So we do, part of our grid will have like, what are like maybe two books of the Bible that we're preaching from start to finish, you know, and stuff. And maybe it should be old and new, you know, and stuff. Or we ever need prophecy, all that kind of stuff. You're thinking that through, okay, what are some series we're looking to do? So next year for 2018, we're wanting to do a love series, for example, that will look at work, relationship, friendship, all those kind of stuff. And that has predominantly come through kind of to me sensing something in our congregation that it feels like, hey, we need to impart more in this stuff. We're trying something differently, so next year will be the first time we're trying to sort of align. So if you got your next gen, your youth and your adults, we're trying to say like, hey, how do we, in some level, align those a bit more through some times in our year? So our next gen ministry, they're working on 2020 curriculums. You know, that's our Taryn is crazy like that. You know, stuff. So we'll say, okay, she's there. We're still like, we just want to figure out what do we do. You know, this November, and so we're saying, hey, maybe we could maybe offer, bring all our teaching together in such a way that it's effective. So next year we'll try to do, you know, a Patriarch series that we're working tandem throughout all that and trying to see what is there actually room to grow more in that. So that teaching committee is supposed to think those kind of things through and put it together. And maybe it will help to have a grid, how you do it, that's really formalized and all that stuff. We yet don't have one and figuring it out. So. Anyway, yeah, thank you. Someone, you want to pray for us?
Sure.
And if you have any more questions, engage us.
Father, thank you so much for your word. As Dr. Tony shared just the other morning, Father God, what a privilege it is for us to be sharing the word of God. We're really just echoing what you've already said to us.
Mm.
May we do that well. May we do it faithfully. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to do that. May we continue to do it with humility, with great humility, Father God, but with great conviction and great passion, knowing that these are the words that you have spoken. I pray for every person in this room. Continue to empower them by the Spirit. Continue to lead and direct them, God, and help them, Lord. Help them in their local church, Father God, to develop some things that will make sure that there is longevity in the preaching of God's word, faithfully. A preaching of God's word that transform and change people's lives to the glory of your name.
Yeah.
We trust you, God, and we thank you that you've called us to do this. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.